You've turned on your furnace for the winter, but if it's not doing its job, let the technicians at Lemons Heating and Cooling do theirs. They perform service and maintenance on all furnaces. If it needs to be done on yours, Lemons Heating and Cooling can do it. Their services are 24/7, so if you need them, Lemons Heating and Cooling is there. They also take care of filtration, humidification, and installation of programmable thermostats. Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-353-3527.
It's the Sportsman's Gun and Knife Show, January 21st and 22nd at the Greeley Mall East Building, Highway 34 and 23rd Avenue, Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. Great deals on thousands of new and used firearms, ammo, knives, accessories, women's defense products, and much more. Our dealers buy, sell, and trade, plus $50 CCW classes both Saturday and Sunday. We'll have two free gun giveaways with proceeds going to American Heroes in Action. Must be present to win. For more info, visit peshows.com. Join Harsh Outdoors at the PE Gun Shows January 21st and 22nd at the Greeley Mall East Building, Highway 34 and 23rd Avenue. We'll be featuring Black Rifle Coffee, Sig Sauer Air Products, Willie Pete's Chocolate, and a few of our off-road vehicles. If you can't make it to the show, come see us in Eaton, Colorado on Highway 85. Our football field-size showroom and store is packed full of the latest from Sig Sauer, Easy Go, Textron Off-Road, Arctic Cat, Husqvarna Power, and much more. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5:30, Saturday, 8 to 3. For more info, visit harshoutdoors.com.
High school basketball can be heard on Northern Colorado's voice.
Ball knocked away and taken. Come the other way, Sasso wants to go the difference. Hageman gets to him. Basket counts and a foul. Going to the hoop. Yoder with the basketball. Give it up for Marcus Phillips. Back to Ty. Now left-hand side. Wants to go to the hole. In deep, spin it to Bethune. They need this one. On the way, he got it. Ayatoll knocking down the three outside. Mr. Toll.
103.1 and 1310 KFKA. 103.1 FM, K276 GU, and 1310 AM KFKA. Greeley, 1310 KFKA.
ABC News, I'm Phil Lipoff. Attorney General Merrick Garland addressed the discovery of two batches of classified documents in locations linked to President Biden.
I'm here today to announce the appointment of Robert Herr as a special counsel, pursuant to Department of Justice regulations governing such matters.
Garland says the documents were discovered in two locations.
On December 20th, President Biden's personal counsel informed Mr. Lausch that additional documents bearing classification markings were identified in the garage of the president's private residence in Wilmington, Delaware.
President Biden earlier addressed the discovery of documents.
People know I take classified documents and classified material seriously. I also said we're cooperating fully and completely with the Justice Department's review.
The White House says the documents date back to his time as vice president. On Wall Street, stocks are in positive territory following a report showing inflation is cooling. This is ABC News.
As a Walgreens pharmacist, I talk with people all the time about little tips and tricks for filling their Medicare prescriptions, like taking advantage of Walgreens' 90-day refills to save them a trip, or using Refill by Scan, which is super easy and right on your phone. And for anybody worried about prescription costs, I say, hey, we got you, with low-cost copays on many medications.
Let's talk about making things easier. Walgreens is here. Fill your way and save at walgreens.com/Medicare. See pharmacists for restrictions and exclusions.
Have you ever noticed that when the afternoon light hits your floors, you can see everything, including dust?
So much dust.
And that floor dust gets kicked up into the air, compromising the quality of air you and your family breathe.
Eesh.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper is the fast and easy way to clean your floors with ultra-thick pads that trap and lock dust before it gets in the air. Just a couple minutes a day,
and dust is gone.
Swiffer Heavy Duty Sweeper. Proud partner of the American Lung Association.
This update brought to you by Glass Doctor Greeley in Fort Collins. Hail damage? Contact Glass Doctor today.
This is 2 Prime News, Pinpoint Weather Meteorologist Jessica LaBelle. The snowfall has pushed east, but we're going to be left behind with some fog overnight tonight into early Thursday. Lows will drop to 21 degrees. We'll see a high of 35 Thursday afternoon with dry conditions. And it's going to get even warmer on Friday. We'll heat up to 45 with dry weather and keep it dry into Saturday with a high of 52 degrees.
The COVID-19 pandemic presents many challenges for local businesses in Northern Colorado. And and many are working hard to continue offering valuable services and products to our community.
I think it's incredibly important that people prioritize these local businesses because that's what makes up our community and makes it sustainable.
When businesses plan for the impacts that COVID-19 could have on their staff, they're better prepared to continue serving the people of Northern Colorado. Businesses can learn more about making a COVID-19 plan to keep things running smoothly at nocorecovers.com.
ALO means business. ALO means local business. ALO means big business. ALO means small business. No matter your business, if you need reliable phone and internet connectivity, you need ALO. Local service and same-day dispatch. Free installation. Symmetrical upload and download speeds. If your business relies on communication, rely on ALO. ALO means business. Visit alofiber.com/business.
Good morning, NOCO.
I don't do passive-aggressive.
Always entertaining.
All of a sudden, you'll see a picture of one of those fish that's, like, clear but has a really mean look on its face. We live down here because we're really ugly.
Always informative.
Commander for the Greeley Police Department of Weld County Drug Task Force, Scott Smith.
Whenever we make a large seizure, things will slow down a little bit, but there's always somebody out there waiting to take over for the person who's now maybe in jail.
Good morning, NOCO. Weekdays 6 to 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKF.
Ready?
Northern Colorado's Voice and your home for Preps football.
Puts the ball under his arm, running down the left sideline. Great move. He's inside the 20. He's inside the 10. Colton Pollock somehow tiptoed the sideline, and he is in the end zone. Touchdown, Fossil Ridge. He's going to dump the ball down the middle of the field, up in the air, caught at the goal line, and it is a touchdown. How about that?
Preps basketball.
In the corner, Richardson for three, and the sophomore drills it. They're going to go length of the court, and there it is to Hageman, and he lays it in. Mendoza one more time, heating up.
Preps baseball.
Payoff pitch is hit to left field and deep. Going back, oh, way back, looking up, and this ball is gone. The pitch is ripped. Third base side down the line. That means runs. They're going to third. They may have him. The throw to third. He is out. What a relay.
Northern Colorado's Voice and the leader in prep sports is 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. KFKA keeps it local. Good morning, NOCO at 6. Clark and the coach at 10. And the whole show at 11. We are Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's here. Paid family leave is a benefit workers want. So when life happens, family has you covered. Find out how much you'll be contributing at famli.colorado.gov. Brought to you by Colorado's Family Division, the Colorado Broadcasters Association, and this station.
After 1 o'clock. Okay, before I get into this next story, because I know it's going to heat you up, Angel. I know we're going to fight about it. But you told me something yesterday, and I'm not sure I don't know if I'm on board with this just yet. And again, it's your decision. It's your hair. But you're thinking about, are you thinking about cutting the hair? Are you seriously thinking about doing this?
I'm contemplating it.
I have not known you without long, because you have long hair about what? Past your neck a little bit?
Yeah, it was about this length when I first got here.
Yeah.
I had started growing it in March of 2020.
You're just not feeling it anymore? Why, man? You put in
the
work.
I'm not feeling it. It's, I don't know.
Time for a change?
Like, maybe it's time for a change. Ugh. Every time I go down to my parents' house, they're always asking, oh, are you going to cut your hair?
Do they not like the long hair?
I don't think they do.
I don't have the patience to get it to as long as you got it, but I think it's cool. It's unique.
I always wanted to grow my, when I moved out to Colorado, I always wanted to grow my hair out at some point, and it took me until the entire world shut down to say, oh, I don't need a haircut.
Just let it go.
Yeah.
And so that's when you first started growing out, was COVID?
Yeah.
You just stopped going to get haircuts?
I had gotten a haircut that previous, like, November. So, like, November of 2019 was my last haircut, and then I grew it out till then, and then I got it cut in, so last November, not this past one, but 2021 November, I had it trimmed.
A little trim up there.
And then back in June, I had it trimmed up again, but since June, it has been growing.
But you're talking about
cutting it almost short.
Like whole new hairstyle.
Just short hair.
Yeah.
Short hair, don't care.
Yeah.
Would the beard go with it?
No.
Okay.
It might at the start just start over completely and just see what happens.
You should have told anybody. You should have just showed up to work with short hair, no beard.
Well, I won't tell you when it
happens. People would be like, who is this guy? Who is this guy?
Just don't schedule like a 3-day weekend for us. I might not be the same when we come back. I definitely wouldn't tell you guys when I'm getting a haircut.
It's going to blow our minds, man.
Just show up, short hair, clean shaven, be a new, whole new person.
Yeah, because you and Brian and Micah here have kind of unique look. Micah used to grow his hair out. Like, he used to have his hair down middle of his back. Oh,
no, that's too long.
Oh, yeah. It was, like, super long. When I first started here, his hair was long, long, like Cousin It long. And now he keeps it pretty short. But Brian has longer hair. Me, you know, Tanner, Clark, Bruce, we all kind of got the same, fairly same, although we got a little more hair than Bruce, just a little bit. Clark still has some gray hair. It's good. It's looking good. That would blow my mind, man, if you do this.
I mean, I like the short hair. I had it for a little while. I don't like using gels and stuff in my hair because I hate the feeling of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you don't get it, if you don't find your routine early, you're just messing around with it all the time. You can't figure out what looks good. Some days it looks good. Some days it doesn't. Like my hair now, it's just wake up, shower, wash it, and just go.
And just go. And it just dries out. Dries out and let it just hang out there. And that's it. That's what you need. So, well.
It'd be a drastic change.
Like, oh, my gosh.
When I sat and was thinking about it.
Blow our minds.
Gosh, I just know if I'm like sitting down in the chair and she's got the scissors ready. She's like, all right, you ready? I'm like, no, I'm not. Don't cut it, please.
And well, and doing it in the winter, it probably
That's
keeps your
I,
head
I
warm.
To
You're going to have to wait till summer.
I was thinking like maybe April.
Okay. Well, that'd be fine.
Maybe around April would be something different.
Well, I'm normally the same haircut since I was like 13. You know, high and tight fade, little short on the top. Do like a 1.5, a 0.5 or something on the sides. But then I started letting it grow, and I liked the long hair, but then the back of my hair was like starting to freak out, like porcupine status. So it was like this little tail that I had. Not a rat tail, because I have a weird cowlick back there.
It's like a reverse
there.
Cowlick.
It's terrible.
I had all kinds of different hairstyles. Like high, like middle school up to that point, it was short. And then high school, I switched it to a bowl cut, or like I called it the surfer look. But it was that kind of look where you would flip your hair. I used to flip it all the time. I hated myself for it. I was like, I'm never going to do this. But then you find yourself just sitting in class flipping your hair back.
Oh, my problem with longer hair or even growing out a little bit of a beard is I mess with stuff too much. You know, I sit there and rub my face too much. Or I start pulling on the long hairs that are sticking out on top of my head. And then so I'm just fidgety. So the best thing for me is to just be clean shaven, short hair, and then I don't look so fidgety. Don't mess with stuff. But, you know, we're working on it.
I got to work myself up to it.
All right. Bleacher Report put this report out that the chances of Tom Brady still going to Miami are actually still out there. That he could just, because he's living there, of course, could he take over? For your boy?
No.
Is Tua done?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
All those 4 million concussions that he had this year, there's no debate in your mind that Tua's coming back next year. He's not going to hang it up.
No. He's not that kind of person. And I, you know.
Well, but he may not be that kind of person,
but
you know.
If it's out of his control, it's out of his control. If it's up to him, he's not going to.
And that's the thing. Like, I wonder how many people close to him are like, dude, you got to be careful here. I mean, these head injuries are major.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows that. I'm sure he's talking to as many doctors as he's talked to just this season. I'm sure he has a good idea of the risk and, you know, potential injury. But that's the sport of football. There's potential for injury on every single play. And it's not like he's not concussion prone. If you look at his concussions, they're just late hits, or the Cincinnati one was just a violent tackle. And he's not like, oh, I'm going to purposely slam my head on the ground because I don't feel like playing anymore.
Yeah, but he's had quite a few in a short amount of time.
I understand that, and I understand there's a serious risk there. But to say he's concussion prone, like, It's a concussion. It just happens.
I'm not saying he's concussion prone.
Or to act like he's the only player to ever have a concussion.
No, but he's one of the only players I've seen like rigid on the side on the field like that, where he looked. I mean, that was his that was before the DeMar Hamlin thing. That was the scariest thing I've seen on the field in a while.
I agree.
And so that
but there's no conversation about Kenny Pickett retiring. He's had two concussions this
Nobody
year.
Saw him on the ground like that.
Is that what it takes?
Yeah. We are a visual people.
So a concussion safety injury concern is just...
When a concussion situation? Causes your body to do something different, like it did with Tua, then yeah, I think it gets a little scarier. When you see a guy get hit hard like Russell Wilson, and then he gets his bell rung, and then he just goes to the tent and gets evaluated, and then they come back and say... I mean, but even he looked pretty bad. That was probably one of the bigger ones this year, too, especially when you had the knot on the side. He looked out of it, dizzy out of it. But what I saw with Tua, again, before the DeMar Hamlin thing, that was the scariest thing I've seen on the field in a while. So I do think that when, you know, concussions happen, are there worse concussions than other concussions? Probably. But when you see a guy concussed so badly that it's like he has no control of his limbs for a period, that escalates things, and I think that's why Miami was met with so much controversy when, you know, deciding after that first concussion to bring him back out, because then the very next hard hit, did not look right. And I think that's scary for people. It's scary for him. It's scary for his family looking at this.
It is, but I find it hard to say that this, like, his concussion, like the Cincinnati one, yes, that one was awful.
That was
terrible,
scary, dude.
Absolutely bad. The Packers one, he didn't have a noticeable reaction to it because the spotters, NFL spotters, great job, by the way, they didn't do it. They didn't see anything. You can go find the play where he does get tackled late and he kind of swings his body, gets slung to the ground. And I analyzed it a ton because he's running to his right, but he throws lefty. So when he throws, he's almost spinning his body completely around, getting tackled by the ankles. He has no way to catch himself from falling. So, like, the way he's getting hurt or the way he gets these concussions are not – he's not doing something out of the ordinary.
No, I'm not saying that I'm worried that he's going to keep getting him. I would be worried if I were him and his family about more long-term ramifications if he does get one. Because the odds any football player in the NFL is going to have another concussion in their career. Anybody. You know, a 53-man roster, I would say, dude, I'm not counting out anybody on that team, even a punter. I would say there's a decent chance these guys are going to have a concussion. There's a chance Tua's going to get another one. And you have to wonder, you know, again, we're learning more and more about what concussions do to men years after they retire. And it's one thing to get a concussion where nobody really even knows he got a concussion. He just came off the field, and then we're told later in a report. But again, the way Tua went down with that in that Bengals game, that one forces people to have these conversations. And they're scary. If Tua would have just went down, and then bam, his head hits hard, but then he gets up and he's kind of like a little wobbly, we would have been like, "Dang, he got his bell rung. He's got a concussion. He's probably out." But it wasn't that. It was the fact that his body just like tensed up. It was scary, and they kept showing it, and everyone was getting mad on Twitter that they kept showing it. And it's not just that it's disturbing. It's You worry about the guy's long-term health. What's he going to be like when he's 40? You don't want to hear it, but...
What about Teddy last year?
I've never seen Teddy do anything like I saw Tua do. I never saw him drop
when
down like that.
Carted or taken off the field on a stretcher?
Didn't see him, his body tense up and convulse like that. Like, not convulse, but like rigid up. I never saw that with Teddy. I haven't seen that. I'll tell you, I saw it with a high school basketball player teammate of mine back in the day, years ago. He went up for a dunk, gets undercut, hits his head, and we all thought on the sidelines, he lifted his arm up and his arm went out and his like index finger was pointing at the ref. My head coach thought he was talking trash to the ref. And so my coach runs out, he's like, "Jamie, what are you doing?" He goes out there, and then at that point his hand had locked up. Everyone went silent. It was terrifying. So I'm just telling you, the difference between a guy just getting their bell rung, even getting carted out on a stretcher, and compared to what we saw with Tua, is different. It changes things. And I don't know what he's going to do. The competitive side of him, sure. You don't get to this level without being extremely competitive. But not only have you... How many confirmed concussions did Tua have this year? Three?
Two.
So two. Two, but one knocked you out so bad that your body started doing different things, locking up. And that, to me, is where it gets into scary territory. And the fact that they're pretty close to each other. The concussions were pretty close to each other.
The first two were. I mean, he came back after the Cincy one and played the rest of the season outside of the last two games.
Right, but...
And he was fine.
I thought he had three concussions this year.
Well, there was the first one with the Bills where he stumbled.
What was the Bengals one when he got thrown down, and that's when he was, like, locked up, and it was terrifying.
And then the Packers one was it happened during the game, spotters didn't see it, and he played the rest of the
So he had three concussions then?
Two, officially. The Bills one wasn't... After the investigation, it wasn't. It said that the doctors didn't do anything wrong in that. And that's what brought in the spotters stuff, because he was put into concussion protocol and passed it that day when he had that stumble and played the rest of the game just fine, And then the investigation happened.
It is something that's out there, and if it does happen, I guess the other thing is, and I know you'd rather Tua, but if you're Miami and it comes to it and Tom Brady has a decision to go somewhere, either Las Vegas, which certainly is opening up because now Derek Carr's gone, sounds like. I think we're 99% sure he's gone. Then Miami's name was there from the beginning. That was the number one for him, like where he might go, even when he was at New England. So Miami's going to come up. Las Vegas is going to come up. And I guess staying in Tampa Bay is going to come up.
The connection with Brady in Miami is primarily from Stephen Ross, the owner, and his second-in-command. I can't remember his name. But his second-in-command was the one that set up the illegal meeting with Brady on the boat in Tampa or Miami, whichever. And then that was also the group that wanted Sean Payton and Tom Brady together. And I still feel that's what Stephen Ross wants. Chris Greer, the owner, and Mike McDaniel, the coach, want something different. And I don't think Brady, at this point in his career, is a plug-and-play, win-now quarterback. I get what he did at Tampa Bay, but you have to consider the coach that he had in Tampa Bay and the players that he brought in from free agency, like Gronk and Fournette and, you know, other guys. If you put Brady on Miami now, yeah, the offense might be good. They still have the 31st offensive line. They still have the 30th run game in the league. So it's more than just a quarterback for them.
Yeah, no, and I agree that he's not. He needs to go to a place like San Francisco. Like Tom Brady in San Francisco would make more sense if he was a starting quarterback for the Niners, because they just need a quarterback.
And I love McDaniel, but you're not going to say, "Hey, second year coach, here's Tom Brady, make it work." That's a lot.
Especially
that's a
because
lot of pressure.
He's unorthodox, because he's different.
Right.
I don't think that Brady's ever had a head coach like that.
Brady wants his offense the way he runs it.
But Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio said it's definitely on the table that he could be with the Dolphins.
On the table. Means a bunch of things.
Table means the idea is alive. That it could happen.
Is it on the edge of the table? Is it front and center on the table? Is
it's
it under
on
a pile
table.
Of notes?
It's on the table.
That could be anywhere on the table.
It just makes you so sad.
It doesn't make me sad. It just makes me frustrated.
Why? Why is it frustrating?
Because everyone craps on Miami all year long, and when the quarterback situation comes up, it's, oh no, Tom Brady will go, we're all going to love Miami all of a sudden?
No, I don't think anybody said
Brady,
they're going to love Miami.
If he won a Super Bowl with the Dolphins, it wouldn't be a Dolphins Super Bowl. It would be, oh, look, Tom Brady got another Super Bowl.
Probably, yeah.
So what's the point?
What?
We want to crap on the Dolphins, but we want them to get the best quarterback in the league?
Who's crapping on the Dolphins?
Everybody.
Oh my gosh, nobody.
Everybody.
Because we all think they're going to get blown out by Buffalo this
weekend? Everybody thinks that.
They are going to get blown out by Buffalo this
weekend.
Oh, they absolutely are getting blown out. There's no way. Skyler Mahobagak, I don't even know what his last name is.
It's Hobson.
It's difficult because nobody knows who he is.
You should know who
he is.
He's
a ninth string quarterback. Yeah, three games that I didn't watch.
You're not a Dolphins fan. I wouldn't expect you to.
I watch a lot of football, but I don't watch third string quarter. Like, that's not on the top of my list, and that's not what's going to be aired on, you know, Fox 31 and, you know, Channel 2, Channel 7, whatever. They're not going to put Dolphins games, you know, for the masses at this stage. Not with that guy.
Because nobody likes the Dolphins.
I don't think that they dislike the Dolphins.
They have been the
laughing
stock of the league for the last 20 years.
I think the Browns have been pretty close to that. The Lions pre-Dan Campbell.
Yeah, but they're right in that group.
The last 20 years, they're right in that group. Probably just because they haven't really done much. I mean, they haven't really...
So Tom Brady's just going to fix it all of a sudden?
I didn't say that. I'm saying it's on the table that Mike Florio, who has been known to report pretty well, is saying that the idea of Tom Brady going to Miami is on the table.
Tom Brady going to Vegas is on the table.
It is.
Tom Brady going to Indianapolis is on the table.
I would say Tom Brady going to Vegas, San Francisco, and now, thanks to this report, Miami seem to be, or staying in Tampa Bay, seem to be the leaders right now as far as where he would go. I'll be honest with you. If I'm Tom Brady and I'm not knocking the Dolphins, I ain't going to Miami. I ain't winning a Super Bowl there. I'm going to go to San Francisco, number one. Las Vegas, the only reason I'm going there over Miami is because I have a connection with Josh McDaniels. So I'm actually with you for different reasons. If I'm Tom Brady, I ain't wasting my time going to Miami. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl next year with Tom Brady. San Francisco, today, if he were the starting quarterback for the Niners today, they'd be the favorite to win the title. They may be anyway, but they would be the favorite. First Advantage text line,
888-530-0043. What do you got, Uncle? I know you're saying something.
Aaron from Greeley, with the concussion protocols going the way they are, do you guys see a point where if a player gets three concussions in a year, they're done for the season? I absolutely think that that's an area where we could go.
I think that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, I think that there's...
I think the NFL told the Dolphins you're not playing him.
Yes, and I think that that's probably why he's not playing this weekend. He might be cleared as far as the little tests that they do, but three concussions is a lot. McLean, also the world of concussions and the protocols for how to handle them is ever changing. We're still learning about concussions and the long-term effects they have on a person. And again, I think those are things that are going to be, should be discussed with Tua, with people that are close to him this year. Now he could, odds are he's going to come out the next 5 years and be a pretty good quarterback, but he needs to have those conversations of, I've had three proven concussions. I don't know. Has he had more than that in his life? Did he have any in Alabama?
He had one when he broke his hip.
So, I mean...
And that was just because of the hit he took.
When do we start saying, like, if you keep breaking, if you keep tearing the same ACL, if you tore the same ACL twice, we'd be like, dude, is he going to play again? Why is head injury not considered in that same territory? Because we can't really see it. And you could still walk and talk and do all those things. But you, what they're trying to figure out now is what are the long-term ramifications of multiple concussions. If Tua would have tore his ACL this year and then next year tears it again, we're having a realistic debate of whether or not he's done. I guess it just depends on how serious concussions really are. We're saying they're serious, but it does feel like a concussion is still looked at as a minor injury compared to a torn ACL, because a torn ACL keeps you out for the year. A concussion keeps you out for 7 days or whatever.
I guess my frustration is just with the NFL and their handling of concussions.
Oh, it's just because it's like their suspension
Kenny Pickett
stuff.
Had two concussions within like 3 weeks, and he was playing all the games. The Bills center has had six concussions this season.
And offensive linemen have
Joe
concussions
Joe Burrow
all
came
the time.
Out earlier this year saying he didn't remember certain games because of concussions. So I'm tired of Tua being the poster boy for this.
He's the poster boy because of the way he went down.
Well, because Amazon showed it 50 times.
But
we can't show DeMar Hamlin any more than once.
No, that's terrifying.
And I get it. They're two completely different injuries. And I'm not saying one is worse or better than the other. But the situations were handled differently because of what happened with Tua.
Well, DeMar's was he needed to be resuscitated.
Right.
I mean, that. So it was worse. He almost died. 5 seconds later, he might have died. He might be dead. I mean, those are the brass tacks. That's the situation. His was a heart issue. And that is, to me, that's the worst thing I've ever seen, personally, watching football, was a guy who was probably gone for seconds. I don't know. I don't know how these people were able to revive him, but it's a magical thing. But the concussion thing, you don't see CPR being done on guys with a concussion. That is also why concussions are so hard to evaluate. You know, if you're listening right now, you think, oh, a guy got a concussion, 7 days. You think that. That's what we've been told. You hear ACL and you go, oh, he's out for a year. You don't even know yet. You just know he tore his ACL and you know he's out for a year. You hear that. So the concussion thing is still such a weird deal. He said, Chris saying Brady to Vegas. Midlife, divorced, Mm-hmm. Car to Tampa Bay.
Car's going to go to Indianapolis.
And they just keep recycling these.
No, it's going to work this
average time. To good quarterbacks.
It'll work.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Derek Carr there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Shoot us a text. Somebody sent me a whole show banner. A dude, Fabio, with the hair. I can't get it that long. Can't go Fabio there.
Oh, no.
Oh, no,
like, Fabio. Mine's long, but it's not like flowing and just unison. Like yeah. That takes skill.
That takes skill. That's good stuff. To steal a phrase from my guy Clark Johnson, good stuff. 28 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. Biggest storyline in Denver, how about the coaching search? David Shaw, the former Stanford head coach, who's pretty damn good, interviewed with Denver. Is he a realistic possibility to be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos? We'll talk about it next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Trade all the others away. The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
After 1 o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. David Shaw interviewed with the Broncos just kind of randomly. Like, we had the list yesterday, and I put it up on our poll question.
I feel like I keep seeing random interviews with the Broncos.
Like, they just
aren't being announced. It's like there's no announcement that they're going to interview. It's just, oh, they interviewed this guy yesterday. What?
You and Brian were talking about, I think you brought up on Good Morning NoCo, you brought up, hey, is it a bad thing that they are interviewing? I don't know if you said it was a bad thing, but are you concerned that they're interviewing all these? A lot of them are just random guys, random coaches. Not all of them are top tier guys, right? I mean, you kind of wondered,
like,
if that.
Is the organization worried that they're not going to be able to get Peyton or Harbaugh, so they're casting a wider net just to have a safe fallback like a Dan Quinn or something like that?
I think they're casting a wider net, but I also think it's for appearances. I do think that they want Broncos country to really think, and I think they are. It's not that they're faking it. I think they want Broncos country to know how serious they're taking this. So we are going to interview as many candidates as we possibly can to make sure we get this right. Because, Angel, they have to get it right.
Does it create resentment if they don't get it right and they say, oh, you had 15 other coaches you could have gone with?
Yes.
And if the fans don't like, or the fans like it at first and it doesn't work out, that's even more resentment from an already upset fan base.
Yes. I mean, again, Adam Schefter talking about Jim Caldwell. He says, he basically said all the reason Jim Caldwell hasn't been hired is because all the NFL teams have been wrong. The teams that have been needing coaches since he's been out since 2017 have been wrong. So, yeah, the more guys you bring in, it's the more guys you're telling no that are going out with a vendetta against you. That's how it goes.
Is it a strategy to get more people interested?
I don't know, because, I mean, yeah, it's an opening job.
If there's like 20 people interviewing for that job, oh, it must be a good job.
It must be good.
Job.
Oh, well, yeah, when you hear that the Broncos are interviewing all the big wigs and all these other guys, yeah, it makes it sound more appealing. If you get more stud people applying for your job, it makes it sound like the job is good. But I think that Greg Penner really wants Broncos country to know, hey, we know there are big names. We know where there's rumored favorites that we have, but we are going to go through this real process of vetting out the best guy for the job, because the pressure is on like never before. I mean, the owners are the owners. They're not selling the team. They just bought it. So it's not like, oh, if they don't start winning, then the owners are going to... No, they're there, but They need to start winning because you just talked about why the Dolphins get made fun of. The Browns and the Lions, those are the organizations that we don't talk about that often other than bad things because they're not in the playoffs that often. They're not a good franchise for the most part. The Broncos are in danger, folks, of falling into that category. They have been the last 7 years, but they're in danger of actually living there. If they get this coaching hire wrong, the Broncos will now live where the Jets have been living and where the Browns have been living for so long now. And that's unacceptable for Broncos country, which means that people won't go to games. And you'll finally see this state. And I know people argue with me, this will never not be a Broncos state. Think again. Nuggets just sold out on a Wednesday night. And I know it's less. It's harder. It's easier to sell out a basketball arena than a stadium. But you keep losing like this, you're going to lose fans.
So let's say the ownership group has a coach in mind. They have their top candidate. They want to say Harbaugh. They interview somebody else, and they completely crush the interview. Absolutely knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
Do they hire that guy, or do they say, no, we want Harbaugh?
I think it's going to be Harbaugh, even if the guy comes in and crushes the interview. Unless it's an interview. I'm bringing up The Office again. Remember they interviewed Ray Romano? You remember that? He brings in the peanut butter sandwich because basically he was told the job sucks. You don't want this job. And he's like, what am I doing? So he's going to sabotage the job. So he pulls out of his briefcase a peanut butter sandwich and starts eating during the interview. Unless Harbaugh does that. Because Harbaugh wants to be in Michigan. But he wants to be in Michigan for $10 million. Denver's going to give him 12. Maybe more. So unless that goes badly and Harbaugh's like, I want to be in Michigan, so I'm going to self-sabotage this interview. I mean, I'm not going to really torch myself, but I'm probably not going to give it my best. He wants to be paid by Michigan. If the Broncos offered him 12 and Michigan offered him 12, he'd stay in Michigan. But if Michigan offers him 9 and the Broncos offer him 12, he's going to the Broncos. It's $3 million more. It seems like not a difference for you and I, but... Or because it's like, what, 9 million, 12 million? I mean, come on. But these guys are in different worlds than we are. You know, and it says something about who you are. So I don't, unless Harbaugh says no, or it doesn't go well, unless Peyton doesn't want to go there, and that's going to be a really bad look, is if we find out that they hired Evero or Caldwell or whatever, Shaw, and we find out later it's because Harbaugh wanted to go back to Michigan and Sean Payton wanted to go to Houston or Arizona or maybe Dallas. And that's going to be a bad look.
Does Sean Payton have a say in where he goes? Or is it just up to the Saints and what they get?
He has a say, kind of. Because, I mean, they're going to sit and talk. And then it's going to be like, hey, can I have a meet with you, Saints? And Sean Payton's like, the Broncos, Cardinals, and Houston want to offer me a job. And then the Saints might go, well, where would you like to go? I'd like to go to Denver. Okay, well, let's make a call. Hey, Denver. We want a first-round pick and next year's first-round pick for Sean Payton. You willing to do it? No, we can't do it. Hey, Sean, they're not going to give us what we want, man. So what else? I mean, I think they're going to play nicely with him. I think they have a good relationship. They're obviously allowing him. They control whether he can have these interviews because right. They can turn him down. So Payton has say, but I think, again, the ultimate say is the Saints. The Saints could say, screw it all. We don't want this guy coaching in the league. They hated him. You remember Carson Palmer when he was for the Bengals? I mean, he wanted out, and the Bengals wouldn't trade him. He wanted out. The Bengals wouldn't trade him, so he was just a back. He sat out. He didn't play. So they had this quarterback that was worth a first-round pick that didn't play. And they finally, I think a year and a half later, finally traded him. I think, Angel, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the Cardinals traded a first-round pick to get him. So, I mean, and the Bengals were terrible, though. That was awful. The Saints, I don't see going down like that. I think they have a decent relationship with Sean Payton. But, yeah, it's not a... This is why our guy Tanner, who's, you know, somewhere in Mexico... So I can bash him all for a week and a half without having any repercussions. He's saying, oh, Sean Payton's going to be here. He's going to choose the Broncos. Why wouldn't he want to be here? It doesn't really come down to who he chooses. The Cowboys, the Texans, the Cardinals, the Broncos, they're all going to have to give up something significant. And Angel, the more interviews he does, the more expensive it's going to get to get him. Because the Saints will go all in for a guy like Sean Payton. And I talked about it yesterday. They have number 2 and 12 in the first round. So they could keep number 2, trade number 12 for Sean Payton, and then pay him money. And then Sean Payton comes, and he's got a first-round pick, and he can go get Bryce Young. That makes perfect sense to me if I'm Sean Payton. I'm going to go I'm going to give my one last shot here, and I'm going to get a guy that everybody thinks is going to be a big thing in the NFL, right? So I'm going to get a guy, and I'm going to take him to the next level, and that's going to be part of my new legacy. Is I started with this franchise quarterback, and it's all going to be me. You know, I started with him, and I groomed him, and we got there. I didn't come in with a Russell Wilson that's already done everything. I didn't go to Arizona with a guy you have to worry about playing video games all night. I went and found a guy that's already really popular, that's going to be a beacon, I think, that I can start from scratch with. That's appealing to me if I'm Sean Payton. You know, it's also appealing to go to Dallas, and because I think Dak Prescott's a good player. It's also appealing to go to Dallas and say, this is a good roster. Why can't we get over the hump? Let's go win Super Bowls. I think that's appealing, if that job actually comes open. So who's your where's your allegiance with Bryce Young?
I will always support him as a Bama quarterback. He's up. He's definitely up there in my top players. I will follow him more than I follow Mac Jones.
So, but it'd still be Tua.
Yes.
Tua's still your guy.
Yeah.
Why did he rise above more so than a Bryce Young would?
Because, so I started following Tua when he committed, or he was, you know, being recruited by Alabama and USC. And Tua's dad said, you're going to Alabama, end of discussion. His dad is a total, you know, a-hole to him, but, you know, it's love. But Tua, like, he just... I connected to him just because of his personality, his you know, mentality as an athlete, as a person, his faith life. He gave this really great testimony his freshman year in Tuscaloosa, talking about, like, you know, God has put me here to do this specific thing and to play this sport and to put out a message, you know, blah blah blah. And I just connected with that and just his attitude and the style of play that he brought to Alabama was so different and so unique. And he was the only quarterback that I saw at Alabama that when I saw him play, I said, he's going to be in the NFL.
Well, there
and
he is.
He's my dude.
He's your dude. And, you know, you
and
could
even,
have another.
Even outside of football or quarterbacking, whatever, like, as a person, I look
you
up
root
to
for
him.
Yeah. And there's a lot. And that's cool. That's good. Because it's nice to know that you got a little bit more than just the Alabama thing. There's other things that you're looking at,
Bryce,
too.
Bryce is just a kid.
Yeah.
He's just, oh, that kid, Bryce.
He'll be good.
Little whippersnapper.
I think the Houston thing's very, if Houston can get him, that's the thing. What's Chicago going to do with that first pick? I heard
a crazy trade the other day with, like, it was like a three-team trade with Baltimore, Chicago, and Houston.
Mm. And moving up there to grab him.
Like, Lamar goes to Chicago, Justin Fields goes to New Orleans, and then Peyton and quarterback go to Houston.
All possible. It will just depend on, again, for Houston, it's going to depend on what the teams behind them want to do. If they can move up with Chicago, if Chicago's like, dude, we're not going to take Bryce Young, which I don't think they will, but who knows? 43 after the hour, we need to take a break. Let's get the latest on the local sports flat.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA, Go Bears.
Forty-six minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Are you gonna bet money that the Dolphins upset the Bills? You gonna put anything on that?
No.
No. So you don't really believe.
I'm not going to completely give up on my team until the game is over.
At least you're not doing what Pete Carroll did.
What'd he do?
He said, oh, it's really unfortunate that we have to play the 49ers. Like, to me, it sounds like, oh, we're going to lose. Some people really had issues with that. But they made it.
It doesn't do yourself as a fan any good to say, nah, my team's just
awful.
Well,
the fans, yeah. I want to hear my coach be like, you know what? San Francisco's a great team. We feel like we can go out and beat them. Miami said, did you see what Miami's Twitter did this morning? Go find it at some point. You follow them.
I would have seen it.
They said We're excited to get Tua back next week when we play the Chiefs.
That was not officially their Twitter.
Really? Yeah, go check it out.
Or was it?
Yeah, I saw it this morning. That. Yeah, check it out.
You're following fake accounts.
No, it's the real thing.
Nope, I'm seeing playoff prep, a couple of pictures from practice.
They're trolling.
A tweet, how are you watching Sunday's game? Picture of count us in with the playoffs. No, I don't think the Dolphins would tweet that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's 100% true.
Make sure it's verified.
It's the Dolphins Twitter account, you know.
At Dolphins Twitter account?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, 48 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to the show. Don't forget Rams Weekly, all things Colorado State Rams talk coming up at 5 o'clock with Kevin Lytle and Chris Abshire and myself. Those two, of course, of the Fort Collins Colorado one. Looking forward to that. And Zach Stevens just tweeted out moments ago, the Colts have completed their coach interview with Ejiro Evero. So, is he going to get a head coaching job? He's Carolina, Indy, and now Denver. He's getting the interviews. We'll find out if he's going to be good enough to get there. Okay, so apparently the Dolphins tweet was from the Dolphins UK account.
From a non-verified, non-affiliated Dolphins UK account at Miami Dolphins UK.
I'm still taking it.
The official United Kingdom Dolphins Twitter is Miami Dolphins _ UK. There are nuances to Twitter, and it can be complicated, but it means you have to do your research.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to spend more than 1 second a day researching the Dolphins.
Well, that's exactly why, because they're irrelevant, as you say.
Are they relevant?
They're in the playoffs, so yes, they are.
They're about as relevant as Jacksonville. I mean, these are teams get in the playoffs all the time that are irrelevant. I mean, it's the way it is.
Teams that are relevant don't get in the playoffs all the time.
Yeah, true. But you're like in this mode of everybody's against the Dolphins, and I'm here to tell you, dude, I don't even think they've earned that. The Patriots.
They haven't earned it.
Everybody's against the Patriots.
They dump on the Dolphins because it's easy, because they have been irrelevant
for
20 years.
Who dumps on the Dolphins?
Everybody.
Like, what do they say that's so bad about the Dolphins?
You guys dumped on me all season because of this.
How did I dump on you?
Beginning of the year, and I said, oh, the Dolphins are going to compete for a playoff spot. No, Tua sucks. Mike McDaniel sucks.
I said Tua sucked?
At some point.
I said Tua sucked.
You might have insinuated.
Never said Tua sucked. Do I think Tua's it? No. But do I think he sucks? No, I've never dumped on the Dolphins. They are irrelevant to me, and they're neither good or bad in my mind as far as a franchise.
But when someone says Miami Dolphins, what is the first word that pops in your head?
Irrelevant.
Okay.
Not like,
so they're easy to joke on, they're easy to trash
no.
on.
Irrelevant means that I don't care about them. Like, that's one of the teams that I'm just not like that interested in. The Lions, before Dan Campbell, not irrelevant. They were a laughing stock. So that's, you'd rather be in the middle irrelevant than laughing stock. And I don't believe the Dolphins are in the laughing stock category. I feel like the Browns are in the laughing stock category.
The Browns are just historically bad.
But they're in the laughing
stock. And everybody
stock.
Knows that they're bad.
That's laughing stock.
The Dolphins have a historic franchise in the NFL. You cannot deny that. They are the only team to go perfect.
Yeah, but 4 million years ago, you were -400.
Okay, and I'm saying since then, it was that like great point in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
In the last 20 years, it's been bad.
The Colts are irrelevant.
But the Browns have been bad their entire time.
But they're a laughing stock. That's what I'm saying. The Dolphins currently, as they sit today, especially without Tua, to me, are irrelevant. The Indianapolis Colts are irrelevant. If the Dolphins pull up a crazy upset and beat the Bills, then congratulations, my friend. They're relevant. But they got to do it.
They'll never get credit for beating the Bills.
Why wouldn't they? They absolutely would get credit for beating the Bills. Why wouldn't they?
Because they'd be looked at as the bad guys.
No, they wouldn't. They'd pull off the
major
upset.
Oh, the Bills are the love story of America right now.
Doesn't matter. I'm telling you, man. If they pull off an upset and beat the Bills, the Dolphins will be relevant, and that will be a huge topic of discussion
relevant,
in the
but
NFL.
Not praised.
Then you're listening to the wrong guy, because that's not me. If they pull off an upset, they'll absolutely be praised. But they what they did at the end of the season, with or without Tua, they went on a crazy losing streak, and they barely squeezed in. So that's why they were on their way. Dude, I put money on them in that Bengals game. Tua looked great. He gets hurt, and pretty much shortly after that, a couple of weeks after that, all hell breaks loose for the Dolphins. So they had the chance to become relevant, and it just didn't work. So we'll see. But Tom Brady, if he comes to Miami, now you're relevant.
He's not going
to
do a damn thing.
All right, we'll have fun Friday, okay? We're going to have a blast, fun time on Friday. Football Friday. We're going to do a playoff football Friday. We're going to give our official picks. I'm pitting myself up against Angel here. We're going to do it. We did our picks on Monday, but we got to clean them up because I think we sat and evaluated everything, and we'll go through it. But I don't know. They might be the same. We'll find out tomorrow. That's going to do it for us. Rams Weekly coming up at 5 o'clock. Don't miss it. Good night, Northern Colorado.